The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cool. Ready?
Yeah. My name's Alan Aldridge. Welcome to Porch Talk.
Hey. Welcome, everybody, to Porch Talk. We are officially on a porch. You've already heard the voice of the next guest. I'm a little nervous about this because she uses a lot of slurs, so we'll just have to see. We met through the Man Up podcast. She is a warrior in the chat, and she made a funny joke about me, and she came to Porch Fest after I told her I was going to make her pay to come. I ended up not charging her, but there's the backstory. Here's Lauren. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
How you like the story?
Is that what we're called? Are we called warriors? I was just thinking about that the other day.
I have no idea what they should call it.
We need to have name.
Yeah.
Little heroes, little something.
Stringburn.
Everybody seems out. To be a Mississippi Batman, or Arkansas Batman, Mississippi Superman, Texas
Armadillo
Wrangler.
Yeah.
We need to be something. That'd be nice.
We'll have to come up with something.
We will, especially when the Patreon launches.
That's what I'm ready for.
I know, right?
Like, this has a Patreon, but the content is a lot different.
Very, very different. And I don't think I'm the typical demographic, honestly. If I didn't know those guys and had met you and just kind of jived, I would not be a Man Up's typical listener.
It is tailored more towards the dudes.
Yeah.
I think it's in the show, Man Up, but...
a little bit.
Just a touch. But we had a very touching message sent by someone who had listened. I don't know if they just listened to the short or they saw the full episode, but it was the conversation Jake and I were having about, like, if you're thinking about starting a podcast or a business or anything new,
like,
don't mitigate the risk where, you know, you're kind of cowering in fear because you're thinking you're going to suck at it.
Yes.
Because you are going to suck at it. Like, but you're going to get better, I mean, especially, and then you might figure out that it's not for you, so just give it a go.
Honestly, as much as I joke around, especially with Jake, that really, like, y'all's more touching messages are really the ones that keep me around, and that episode specifically, I know you and I have kind of briefly talked about, like, me wanting to start a podcast, and that really did, like, I messaged my girlfriend, who I'm planning on doing it with, and was like, look, we just need to, like, even if it's just audio, we need to just start, like, because it's gonna suck, but the sooner we start
it
gets out there.
I recorded like 10 or 15 episodes of this before I was satisfied with those conversations. Like, I thought that was, and you can hear it, the first episode,
mm-hmm.
I come out the it's called To Be or Not to Be.
Mm-hmm.
And I come out the gate, like, just reading Shakespeare. To Be or Not to Be. It's like, and I called my buddy on the phone that night, and I was like, just, let's talk. Let's record it. There's mm-hmm. no pressure on you. You can't see the mic. You can't see the red button.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's on me. Let's just talk. And we ran it. And I read that off, and we both giggled about it. And then we had Porch Talk. And that was the first one that I was actually proud of enough to actually put out.
Exactly. Yeah, I think... just knowing myself, I have a bit of a self-deprecating humor, but I'm never satisfied with anything. That's one thing I enjoy about my work, is it's not personal and it's not based on what anything that I would care about personally or emotionally. So, like, if you want me to design something and I think it's ugly, I don't care, because that's your money. Whatever. I work in a field that would completely have nothing to do with my self-worth. But when I do my own art or anything that is directly attached just to me, I am hypercritical to the point where I almost will stop doing it just because I'm that critical.
I think that's very, very natural. Or at least I got that same kind of personality, because I do, I write songs. You, mm-hmm. Typically, it's poetry first until I can kind of bend and mend the words around to make a melody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll try to find some music. And I can't tell you how many of those wannabe songs are still just poems.
Mine too.
Because, like, I'll get to playing with it and I'll get frustrated. And the next thing you know is, like, I've just moved on to something else.
Oh, exactly.
Now, maybe 2 years down the road, I'll revisit it and I'll know exactly what to do with it. Or maybe I can take two that didn't go anywhere and put them together and make one, you know. And even with art, I like to draw. I like to play around on my phone with photography. It's mm-hmm. like, that is, like you said, I put a lot of self-worth in that. I mean, it's an art. You're trying to express the way that you're perceiving the world.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's just Alan. Like, no, you can't say, oh, well, like, if an episode of Man Up sucks, well, that's four of y'all.
Yeah.
You know, that's an equal credit. If Porch Talk sucks, or if one of your drawings sucks, or one of your songs sucks, you know, that's Alan.
Yeah, it's on me.
So when I do something, I'll decide, oh, I want to learn how to do this, because I'm very ADD. And so I'll bounce from craft to craft. Like, I have 100 different things I can do well, and then they get just to the cusp of, like, oh, you could make money on that. My friends joke that I hate money, because as soon as I get to the point where I could make money on something, I'm like, well, I'm not interested anymore. So, and like my notes app, talking about poetry, is full of like just snippets of poems, random things that I think about. Like on the way home today, I had like a scenario come up in my head, and it was listening to your podcast and listening to the episode where you were talking with a guy. It's one of the ones you recommended. I can't remember, but y'all were talking about writing songs and how it developed. And I just put a few lines to a poem in my phone, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night and do that, but it never goes past that. And mm-hmm. I never show it, and no one even really knows I do that. It's just one of those things, you kind of just got to get it out of you.
I've gotten that way, and I've got a few projects I want to do. One of the guests I recently had on, Mike Rainey, he's a comedian out of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. And he was addicted to Percocets for years. He had some kind of injury, got prescribed, and next thing you know, he had an addiction. That's typically how it works for people.
Believe me, that hits like, close to home. Not for me, yeah. But familially.
Yeah, and I mean, and sometimes, I mean, man, you never really had a chance, and the drugs they give you to get off of it are sometimes even worse.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the whole thing's kind of screwed.
You kind of trade one addiction for another.
Yeah, that's all it is, right? It's, you know, quitting smoking a legit cigarette for a vape pen. It's like, well, we don't know everything about those things yet, you know? Are you sure that's a good idea?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but he made a book that really changed the world, and I highly recommend the audio book, because he had his comedian friends, and what he did is he screenshotted like 600 of his Facebook posts, mm-hmm. while he was on Percocets, and it was just,
oh God.
Yes, exactly. and I got a copy of the book, and I'm going through it, I'm reading these posts, and then he's going back in his mind, and then he's, to the best of his ability, he's trying to tell you
what he was thinking,
what he meant, because sometimes you're just like, that shouldn't be, you should have deleted that, dude. You should have made it private. You should have took it down.
Oh, yeah. Like the memories function on Facebook. I'm like, seriously? Yeah. Don't need. I got Facebook when I was 17 years old. I was a freshman in high school. I was like among the first group of people to get it. I'm 35. You're how old?
32.
Okay. So I got it a few years probably before y'all did, when you had to have a college, like university email.
That was the point.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
And so Memories decides to like pop up and let me know whatever mind-bending thing that I was deciding to post. Good God.
Oh, I've screenshotted some of them, because I wanted to do something similar. like not an on perch kind of book, but
yeah,
like I have written some posts while I was inebriated, and like I look back on them now and it's like the point of that book was, if you've ever been embarrassed about anything you posted on the internet, this book is for you, because I'm taking the heel on
this. Oh yeah,
one.
Taking the cake.
Yeah.
Welcome. You're yeah. in good company.
And so like I've been wanting to work, and that's what I'm gonna do all summer, is I'm just gonna whenever I have like a ridiculous idea that I think is funny, I'm gonna post it.
Just do it.
And just leave it up there, and like people who are in on the joke can be like, oh, okay, he's working it.
Yeah.
And then like maybe you get a comment and be like, dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I think most people wonder what I'm talking about 90% of the time, because if it comes into the head, it's coming out of the mouth almost before it got there.
Mm.
And I get to think about that at like 2 o'clock in the morning for like the rest of my life. But that's just the way I've always been, and I don't think it's going to change. And it creates some fun, awkward, traumatic moments sometimes. But, you know, I think all humors develop through trauma in a bit.
Has to be. Yeah.
What's the point otherwise?
Some of my favorite comics, like Dave Landau, like very dark humor. That's my favorite humor. Like it was a pretty good little reel or short from Man Up, to where I was sharing the story about my cousin who had a psychotic girlfriend or boyfriend, and he set the car on fire with her in it, and he's like, she couldn't even get out of that.
That was hilarious.
That's dark humor, and I love it. I mean, because that's the kind of stuff I think is funny. Like, that's my family, but dude, good shot. That's a ringer.
I mean, he was on time.
Yeah, and it was immediate. So I don't mind that stuff, and like it's kind of interesting. Like I love going through the comments section and reading like some of the things that people are saying about that. Like the Mike Hard Lemonade thing is a bit, and
oh, people get so pressed about it.
Yeah, and so that's why we keep doing it.
Oh, I know. I mean, if y'all were just sitting there...
Ooh, that is a guinea.
Just drinking whiskey.
Now you're trying to...
I know, I shouldn't have touched it. If y'all were just sitting there drinking whiskey, I mean, yeah, would it be more on brand? But would it be funny? No. Y'all would just like look
she,
like a bunch of douchebags.
She decided to slap a guinea wasp, which is an animal that was born pissed.
Yes, an angel got bored one day and decided... Hey, let's make something that wants to kill you but doesn't exactly have the power, and you can just both be pissed off.
Yeah, well spoken. I mean, yellow jackets are like that.
Yeah.
And you'll see them sometimes, they'll make a nest in a tree and you kind of got to warn them, but what about those jokers that bury up in the ground? Next thing you know, you're cutting the grass and they're just on
you. Bam.
Done. Dude, that ain't fair.
No. But to be fair, you just wrecked their house.
They needed to put a yard sign up.
They do need to put a yard sign up, but ants put up a yard sign, and we say, don't care, get out. Let's leave. We poison the whole colony. So I guess it's just the chance you got to take if you're...
That's one thing I like about Joe McGowan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you went out to the compound.
I did. It's beautiful.
Julia, caught up with her.
Yes. Love Julia. Went to school with Julia.
That was some internet magic. Like, we met... because of the Man Up, and then you came to Porch Fest, and we had just become friends on social media, and you saw that she was there, and boom.
Yeah, and I didn't even expect you to be there, so it was kismet. Good times. You got to see my feral dog of a child running around.
Yeah.
Making snow angels in the sand.
And I love it when people, like, I'll share about Joe's place, and it's open invitation, but rarely people take me up on it. But when they do, they were like, I'm glad I came out here.
Oh, it's awesome. That lake is, like... insane. It feels like you're in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
He said it was because of the chalk bottom, mm-hmm. whatever that means, but like it's so blue, you can see all the fish, like it's wild.
Just wait, like as the summer comes on in and like that sun really starts beaming in and it clears up that algae and that chalk bottom, it looks like destined.
I told him it looked like, have you seen those natural pools that are like all over the internet now that like crunchy people have?
Okay, so I grew up in Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
And now this guy grew, his house was on a dirt road and his driveway had a gate at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to know the guy because I used to ride four-wheelers up through the dirt road. And one day he stopped me and we got to talking, who's your daddy kind of thing.
Ask your mom and them.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, I got something I'd like to show you one day. Oh, okay.
Which could be anything.
Could be anything. Like you,
you could end up living in his basement for the rest of your life.
Puts the lotion on the skin kind of thing.
Gets the hose again.
Or every podcaster's nightmare. Have you ever seen the movie Tusk?
No.
So it's got Ryan Long, the guy from Accepted, or the first Jeepers Creepers.
Yes.
That guy?
Yes, he's a new girl.
Justin Long.
Yes, Justin Long. He's a new girl.
Oh, yeah.
Which is my favorite show.
I like that show.
Yes.
I didn't watch it enough for him to be in it, I guess.
He was one of Jess's boyfriends.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But, so his character in that, he's a podcaster, and he's going up to Canada, but his whole podcast is, like, dunking on people who took, like, huge L's, like, with, like, a TikTok video would be today, like, to where, ooh, that, because that's online, your life is probably ruined kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he was going up there to meet that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would do a warm-up episode with him and his buddy to kind of let the audience know, get a little hype up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would go meet the person. Well, because of that video that he made to hype it up, the guy killed himself.
Shut.
So now he finds that out when he goes to that guy's house. He finds that out. Feels like crap, of course. He goes to a local bar there in Canada. It's like Ontario or something. And he goes to the bathroom and he sees, like, you know, the little pull-off, if you're interested, call this number.
Yes.
And it's like this extraordinary guy who served in, like, the Navy and had all these elaborate stories. That, and all he wanted to do was share them. And it's like, what better place than a podcast, right? Calls the guy. Turns out the guy is an absolute freak of nature. And he was obsessed with a walrus. And that's why the movie's called Tusk. And I'm... If you... Go watch it if you haven't seen it. But, we did a watch alone. That's the kind of thing we do on the Patreon. We'll watch movies and just commentate.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first ones that we did because that was when I had just first started watching first started doing podcasts. And
mm-hmm.
I'm a traveler podcast. Like, I rarely do in the same place twice unless you're a regular.
Yeah.
And man, we did a watch along on that. And my buddy put that on, and after we got through, he said, "I put that on to freak you out." And I was like, well, it hit very close to home, dude.
Jeez. I mean, imagine the culpability of something like that. Though I know that that has come up lately in cases to do with suicide. There's that girl who encouraged her boyfriend to kill himself. And there's a podcast actually called Culpable. The first season was about a guy, Christian Andriacchio, in Meridian, Mississippi. And there was, like, a lot of, like, did he kill himself or was he killed? But either way, if he did kill himself, are these two people that were with him culpable? Did they encourage it? And it kind of, like, it opens up this new world of, like, are you responsible in those events for at least some portion of it? There's a Netflix documentary called Don't F with Cats, and they kind of speak to the culpability of, did we encourage this guy by giving him the attention he wanted on social media to end up finally killing someone? Because
it's almost like you platformed it.
Yeah, like they went back and they looked at themselves and they're like, what is our culpability in this situation? Would this guy be dead? Would he have killed sooner? Would he have killed later? And you start to wonder, you're like, dang, you know, did I push them to the edge or was the edge already there?
You know, one thing that has been great about social media with some causes like that,
mm-hmm.
and it's led, like, and if I see it, dude, I reach out to him immediately. I'll write him a messenger. I don't care if we're like, you know, sometimes somebody will add you and you know you don't know them personally. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll add them back. You know, I don't know, maybe they were a fan of the show or something, or they want to see my stupid content. I don't know. And every now and then, like, someone will, like, put a suicide letter out, or, you know, they'll put something real sketchy and you can tell mm-hmm. they're really at the bottom and they're looking for attention. I'll just write them and be like, dude, I don't really know you. I don't know what's going on, but, dude, that ain't the answer.
Yeah, this doesn't look good.
And I was like, you need somebody to talk to, I'll give you my phone number.
That's really,
like,
nice.
Don't go through with this, dude. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you never know. Like, tomorrow might be that day.
Yeah.
You know? You might meet your person. You don't know what's going to happen. You know?
Might hit a scratch off.
You might be the next lottery winner.
Never know.
yeah, whatever.
Well, that's kind of you, because so many people see those posts and are just like, not my problem. Not my circus, not my monkeys, don't mess with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and sometimes, I mean, it was people that I went to high school with.
That's wild. I haven't seen one like that yet, but I've seen where people have, like, live-streamed their suicide or live-streamed killing somebody, and it's like...
It was a viral video here in town that... And she announced it right when she was... They're about to be a murder.
Yeah.
I was like...
Thank God I didn't see that one. I didn't see... I never saw the footage of that one.
Wes somehow screen recorded it. Like, he had it in his messages to where before Facebook had taken it down.
Right.
And we were able to, like, see it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, many such cases of people doing that.
That's wild. I mean, I think that's the downside of it, but then you talk about the upside of social media and crimes and solving cold cases, all these podcasts that have, like, solved cold cases or, like...
And that sometimes it's just a call-in or a tip because, like, some of... I listen to one, it's Mike Rainey's podcast. He's got two, I think, but he has Dad Meat, but Little Stinkers is a true crime podcast. Mm-hmm. But he's going through, like, not really going into, like, the case itself or much of their life. He goes through and, like, finds, like, stinker behavior while they were growing up or maybe what caused them to be the way they are.
Yeah.
And then he's got two comedian friends, and they kind of just, they make it humorous. It's very, very dark.
Yeah.
But not to a point to where, like, dang, y'all shouldn't have said that, you know.
Yeah.
But, and they go into some of that stuff because... They've actually, like, some of the suspicions that they've come up with just making jokes, turns out it was
spot
what it was.
On. Yeah. Or, like, I listen to a lot of them. I'm a woman in my 30s, which is, like, crack to us. And so I listen to a lot. I've watched a lot of documentaries. And it's, like, sometimes the person will go and they'll tell the cops, you know, this is the person you should look at, or this is the scenario. I saw this, I saw that. Well, you've got Barney Fife over here who's never worked a murder, and they don't take it seriously. Or it's, you know, this is handed off to him who's handed off to him. Suddenly your lead gets buried, and you're like, well, I've told the cops that. I'm not going to hound them down because then I look crazy. And so when it gets brought back up and a new fresh set of eyes goes through it, because... You were the detective 25 years ago. I'm the detective now. It just reopens everything. And that's one thing I think social media and podcasting and these communities have really opened the door in a positive way to that, because it's giving so many families closure.
Yeah. I've heard it go in, like, the inverse way. Like, the way that we got into this, I'm glad we got in this topic, is look at even, like, corporate media or maybe even social media, like, with defamation. Like, you know, some people come to mind. I mean, what I'm not getting into politics here, but think about the Nicholas Sandman or the Kyle Rittenhouses. Like, they'll never be able to go to school or college. They'll probably never be able to work a normal job. I mean, their life is ruined. No matter where they go, like, half the country hates them.
Oh, yeah, I mean, because today, all it takes is an accusation. It doesn't matter if you killed somebody... Or if you, even if you did not rape or did not murder somebody, if you were accused of it, or someone said you did it,
all right. Did you see the viral video of the chick? She was like 8 months pregnant, and she was getting one of the bites from New York City, and there was like five teenage black kids like took it from her, and it's like the video itself that's dropped. You don't really know all the context. You didn't really know who it belonged with. I think now she's produced the receipt proving that they were making that video for clickbait. And so she's suspended from her job. She was a nurse at a hospital because of everything went viral on social media and then on all the regular media. Well, made the hospital look bad, so she's suspended. She's been docked, so she had to leave town.
Yes.
And now she's raised money, I think, with maybe it was GoFundMe or one of those. And she's suing all of those people because it turns out, like, she was in the right.
Oh, yeah.
And now she can't live in the city.
Yeah, but now she's infamous.
Yeah.
And, some of those cases, like, these fandoms of whoever it may be, will hunt you down in your real life job or your real life family, blow your spot up.
Yep.
Because I said, say you were huge, and I said, I don't like Alan. Screw Alan. You know, and made some kind of crass comment, and one of your fans went nuts, exposes me for some stuff that I, you know, just blown out wild.
It's crazy.
Ruin your life.
It's crazy, like, fandom like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how serious they'll take that.
Oh, yeah.
They'll go through, like, their favorite podcast, their favorite celebrity, and if you dog or trash them, oh, they're going to, A, comment underneath you, tell you how dumb you are, then defend the person they probably don't even personally know.
Right. Or even threaten violence.
And then, yeah.
Over a stranger.
Yeah. For just having a different opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then sometimes it goes real world like that. Oh, by the way, his address is da-da-da-da, and here's a picture of the house.
Here's his kid, where his kids go to school.
And I also found where he works. Let's see if we can email him enough to get him fired.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I've listened to several podcasts where that's actually happened.
That's the dark places of the internet, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean...
But I think, you know, I grew up in a small town. Did you grow up in Columbus?
No. I actually grew up in Brandon, which is right outside of Jackson. And so, when I listened to y'all, y'all all grew up kind of more country than I did. Mm-hmm. I grew up really suburban. Neighborhoods... except when I lived with my grandparents for a while. I kind of got the best of both worlds. They lived in the country, but I lived in the suburbs. So it wasn't like dirt roads and working the farm and all that, but it was not like big city life either.
Yeah. I had one summer, my dad was dating this woman in Cottonwood right outside Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent that whole summer basically at her place, and I loved it, dude. I was like, that's when I knew I loved Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
And like the convenience of it, I was like, man, when I get older, I'm gonna be, I might not be in the city, but I'm gonna be right outside of it,
city,
you know,
adjacent,
because
yeah.
You know, when I grew up, if you wanted to go to the movies, if you wanted to do anything, it was 30-45 minute drive.
See, that's out in East Jesus Nowhere. Like, I want my neighbors to know if I'm getting murdered. I want them to know, like, anything that's going on. I need somebody to hear it, to see it. I want DoorDash.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, do I play gunshots or fireworks over here at the house? Sure do. But can I get something delivered to my house in 15 minutes? Also, yes.
Yeah.
So, I wish we lived in more of, like, a neighborhood. Oh, okay. Car, because
welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah,
there's some
welcome.
Sounds from it.
I wish we lived in more of a neighborhood because I grew up walking to literally everyone I know's house. We had a community pool. Like, we just, I mean, if you weren't out from sun up to sundown, like, you were a loser. I mean, you were sitting in your house doing nothing.
Where I grew up, it was Aldridge Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was pretty much for the most part, it was, you were an Aldridge or you were Aldridge adjacent.
Look compound.
Yeah, and like, dude, walking to my cousin's houses, or maybe like we all rode the school bus.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting off at your house today, dude, and we're about to play some Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah.
We're about to play backstreet football, or, you know, whatever, backyard football, whatever. And those were dog days, man. And it's not like a dog day to where, yeah, I'd go back and do it again. No, we had all the fun we needed, but I do look back on those days.
Yeah, like, fondly. Yeah.
Yeah. Not the best days of my life, but some good ones.
Yeah, it was a lot easier time. I feel like now I can't even let Rivers play in the front yard by herself. Like, it just wouldn't happen. And I walked miles in that neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a difference, right? And I don't know. Do you think the world and maybe just humanity is just a little more evil today, or do you think it's because of social media and like you hear and know about it more?
You know, that's a good question. I think that yes and no. I think there are more avenues now to explore evil. I think that you can grow whatever sick fantasy or fetish that you want so much easier, whereas maybe in times gone by you had to kind of keep that closer to the vest, and now there's whole communities for whatever sick twisted thing you're into. And there's ways to, like, if you're into kids, there's ways to locate kids. I mean, it's so much easier to access.
Yeah.
But at the same time, with the advances in technology, you also can't just be a random serial killer either, because there's cameras everywhere. I think there's trade-offs. I think people were sick. I think it was just harder to be sick on a broader scale, such as like sex trafficking or child pornography, or it's gotten.
And we're a little softer on crime, I think, today than we were in days gone by. I mean, you think about, and some of these people are even celebrities, so you know it's not going to be, you know, like the sentence they deserve, or, you know, for the crime they commit. But even in some places, like, people commit heinous things. Like, maybe, I read a story, this happened out on the West Coast. A dude had hit a teenager at a bar. No, not at a bar, but with his car. Like, after they had an argument at an event,
mm-hmm.
and it killed the kid. And at first, he was convicted of murder, and now they brought a sentence down to manslaughter. He's going to be out in 3 years. And it's like, that was not manslaughter. Like, he knew the kid, and there was pre-thought.
But then the black kid that's walking down the street with an eighth in his pocket, let's send him to jail for 15 years.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, and so, ruin your life over something silly.
Rape, child porn, sexual assault, domestic violence. Let's let those people out, you know. Slap on the wrist. Let's go. Dimebag. Oh, let's put them under the jail.
Yeah.
No, if we would be harsher with all the people who need it, that people would be have some type of fear, but they know, oh, I can keep doing what I'm doing because there's no punishment for it, really.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, if you have some kind of weird fetish or something just all odd about you, you know, you used to feel isolated to where you wouldn't act on those, mm-hmm. and now we have these communities because
they
were able to find each other, and now they talk about it with each other and build each other up.
And I think it desensitizes them too. They mm-hmm. think, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with this because so-and-so is just like me. Cheeto lover 425 is just like me.
Yeah, gold lover, you know, goldfish 420 he was down with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there must not be something wrong with me.
Yeah.
And they're encouraging me to act on this, and they're sending me this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's everybody else that needs to get on board with it.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it probably is rooted in morals. I often think about that too. I think religion is important, but I'm perfectly okay with people having the freedom of religion to practice whatever it is they believe. But if you are religious, like, usually
your moral compass is there.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lack of believing in anything, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, some people, you know, I'm not saying agnosticism or atheism it makes you an immoral person, but, like, some people don't believe in anything, so anything goes.
Right, because if nothing is bad and nothing is good and it's all your choice, then what is the point and not acting on every impulse that you have? Because if everything is just subjective, then, well, if I'm mad at Alan, I'll just kill Alan. Because nothing's bad and nothing's good, and it's all just this one life, and who cares?
That's something else I want to open up. I'm glad you said that. Subjectivity versus objectivity. Like, we were talking about relationships the other day, and she made the comment, and I was just playing devil's advocate, and it was a good joke. She said that, you know, nothing is 50-50, and I was like, a coin toss is.
What?
A coin toss.
Oh, true.
maybe that's the only objective thing that is 50-50, and I was agreeing with her point. Like, we were talking about maybe someone is, you know, your significant other is checked out for months, and, like, you're trying to call them back, but they ain't hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was like, so it's kind of like you're picking up, like, maybe it went 50-50. And she's like, no, it's 100-100. It just went from 100 to 140, so it's like 160-40 now, and it's like I'm overtiming it. And I was like, well, maybe, I don't know. It was an interesting thing to talk about, but think about our architecture, even art, or the way that we portray beauty in this culture now. Do you believe that we have taken everything to the subjective? Because I think beauty is objective at times. You know, you just say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I do believe that to an extent.
Exactly.
But some things are objectively beautiful.
Some things are always going to be classically beautiful. I mean, I think people born with certain genetic traits, symmetry, desirable traits, I think some of that is hardwired into us to be attractive. And yes, Sally Sue over here might not find this objectively attractive man attractive because she might just really love short, round Asian dudes, and that's her jam.
Sure.
But the majority of people are going to find Chris Hemsworth attractive. They just are. Mm-hmm. Men, women, whoever. That's, the majority of people
objective.
Are going to find Kate Beckinsale attractive.
I'm an Alabamian, so shout out Channing Tatum.
Absolutely.
It's a good example of that.
Exactly. There are objectively attractive people who you can't deny
you
that.
You can't deny it, yeah.
I mean, they would not... I mean, some of their acting is garbage. So they wouldn't be actors or famous if there wasn't something...
They had that it factor.
They
it
had that sparkle.
Looks.
Yes. God bless their genetic lottery.
You know, Chris Farley. Not an attractive person, but good on the camera.
Worked what he had.
Yeah, and he knew how to work it.
Yes, exactly. half of the SNL cast...
Zach Galifianakis.
Not a looker. Man is funny.
Yep.
You know, these people saw something in themselves and they said, look, this is where I want to be. This is what I'm going to do. I know that I'm not God's gift to women. That's fine. But I'm funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And
you gotta
they
walk
took
in it.
It. Yeah. You got to, you know, they didn't try and get out of their lane and do Calvin Klein ads or, you know, pose in their underwear. Well, Chris Farley probably would have, but.
Oh, he did the Chippendale with.
Oh, yes. Yes. He did.
And it's still epic.
Yes.
Guy from Roadhouse. I can't... why can I not think of
Patrick
his name?
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. Yes. Now, that is a genetically well-bred specimen.
Yeah.
There was... no one can look at him and just say, nah.
Now, think about this. Like, even with architecture and art.
Yeah.
Cool column. It does its job.
Yeah.
But think about like some of the columns in days gone by. Maybe it was metalworked and it had little intricacies to it that made it beautiful. Or even think about our park benches now. But that maybe goes back to morality. Is like, well, we can't really put out an elegant park bench because people steal them.
Oh, yeah. But it speaks back to craftsmanship, too. I mean, now no one wants to be in a trade. It's beneath them to be in a trade, I think, because our grandparents grew up with trade skills and craftsmen and learning how to do things, and they wanted less labor for their children. So they pushed our parents, go to college, go to college, go to college. And it worked for them. They needed to do that. But what do? We start losing our craftsmen, losing our tradesmen, losing people who know how to be masons or carpenters. And so then our parents push it on us, and what do? We overflow the market with all these degrees, but we don't have skilled tradesmen.
Mm-hmm.
So when I lived in Italy for a semester in college, everything was beautiful.
Yeah.
Everything from the window panes. I mean, they took
most of Western Europe, or even Eastern Europe. I mean, one thing maybe they have on us is like it's just odor.
It is, but at
that same time, like, and I'll let you run it, but like they held beauty to such a high standard that it would have been an absolute disgrace just to make something kind of just plain Jane.
Agreed.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
It's like, no, we're going to do it. We're going to make this beautiful.
Yeah.
And even in the arts, and I'm not judging or calling any visual artist out, But the number one thing that I see with a visual artist, and my critique is you're not a good artist, you ain't putting in enough work, if they can't draw good hands. Now, if they're doing, like, cartoon characters and, like, yeah. being goofy, that's mm-hmm. different. But if you're, like, doing, like, a Michelangelo to where, you know, Adam and God are, like, reaching right. out to and you
like
go,
a hyper-realism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, give me, yeah, that muscle is the only muscle in the forearm that flexes when you bend your pinky. Like, give me the attention to detail.
Right.
Show me that you have paid attention to the human anatomy.
Right. And I think that was an important class in college. It sucked, but it was an important class. But you do, you go and you look at these, I mean, just master classic artists and these, some of the works they did, the David, and it's just, it's amazing the level of detail they could get to. And then we have artists here who will post a urinal and that, I mean, I don't even have the time to get into what I think about that. But I think there are different, I guess, what is my kid running? Okay. I think there are different levels depending on, some art I think is garbage and some art I think is just a different, just as beautiful take on something as something that is as hyper realistic as the David or the Sistine Chapel. It
pales in comparison.
It has to evoke emotion,
mm-hmm.
I guess, is the most important thing to me, especially...
Do you like going to art museums? I guess you
do. I love going to any kind of museum.
But I went to one, and I won't call it out, because, I mean, I'm sure everything has probably changed by now. But I had a little free time. I was kicking in the city, and they happened to have a museum, so I went in there to see it. And, you know, one, like, I've always dressed like a punk rocker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't dressed correctly because it was artsy-fartsy. And so, like, people were kind of aghast by that, you know. It's like, what is he doing here, right? And I was walking through and just checking everything out. And, you know, these people were making comments about the art. And I could tell that they were just being, like, hipster and superficial.
Right.
Like, it's going back to, like, what you were saying about, you know, Hemsworth.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It was like, well, I mean, his nose is just a little off. It was like,
yeah, like
you get bull crap, dude.
Yeah, you're picking apart something that won the genetic lottery.
Yeah.
I mean...
But they were doing the inverse. They mm-hmm. were glorifying something that was ugly.
Mediocre at best, yeah. Probably. But because the hype surrounding that artist yeah. or it's cool to be in there and feel intellectual when art is really supposed to be for everybody in really all of its forms. So to judge you because you're wearing jeans and a black shirt, who cares? Shut up.
Yeah.
Like, art literally is for everyone. So those are just that super stuffy, bougie crowd that, honestly, they're probably quoting something they read or heard someone else say.
I take it two ways. to offend those is, one, you're a poser.
Oh, yeah.
Two, you're superficial.
Yeah.
And you don't have taste.
Well, taste sometimes is subjective, unless you're bandwagging, which is what it sounded like they were doing. They had just decided that that artist was just next level. I think some artists get hype, kind of like y'all were talking about with, like, Conor McGregor, like, in one of your episodes, like, does he know how to promote himself? Heck yeah, he does. Some people can promote themselves into a position where their pieces are way more elevated than they're actually worth because they created a hype around them.
Like, and they even take this. I'm not hating at all. And you probably know. How did Taylor Swift get found?
God, did you, and I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Had something to do with her father. And he made a real big investment.
Oh, she's a Nepo baby for sure. Her dad was rich as hell.
Billboards.
Billboards.
He invested like $1 million in billboards and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she was discovered.
Well, good for her. I mean, but still.
And look at it now.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's paid back.
Oh, yeah. It's paid back in spades. But I will give her this. Regardless if you're a fan or not, the girl puts in work. Like,
it's a good art.
The amount that she gives to her fans, like, the show that she put on the other night when we saw her, pouring rain, still giving it 150%, like, communicates with, all, like, the whole atmosphere from beginning to end, and I really wasn't even a fan until the pandemic, and she released Folklore and Evermore, which were, like, my moody, depressive, like, make-me-feel-something type of music.
Yeah.
Which got me kind of into her backlog, but that's really what drew me in.
1989.
Was that your jam?
I was the girl I was dating at the time. It was when that album dropped,
mm-hmm.
and every time I was in the car with her, I mean, she was rocking it.
Oh, yeah.
And after a while, it kind of grew on me.
You got to.
And next thing I know, Ryan Adams
mm-hmm.
covered the entire album.
Yes.
But I do prefer his, and I loved his comment. Like, I think he contacted her and told her, he's like, we're about halfway through this thing. Because he was, I think he was, he went into it wanting to be a dick, which I think is funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was stinker behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Contacted her halfway through, and he's like, because he was trying to prove that she wasn't a good songwriter.
She is.
And he was like, we're halfway through, you know, it's getting a little shaky, but the wheels are still on there.
Yeah.
The wagon didn't fall apart.
No.
And so he put a little respect on it, you know?
Yeah, she's got some lyrics that just, God, just ripped me apart. I mean, she has one talking about, it's called Tolerate It. And she loves this guy so much that she puts up with him cheating on her. She puts up with this, that, and the third. And she does everything. She makes the house a home. Like, she does all these things and he just tolerates her. And, like, what would he do if she just basically gave up and left? And she just puts so much raw emotion into what she's saying that sometimes it really does strike a nerve with me, because I can get, music is one of those things that can pull me into a situation or a relationship, a time with a certain person, that just is a very visceral experience. And those two albums especially gave me some very visceral moments that would just instantly take me somewhere.
Fan or not, I mean, that's why I put a lot of, I will put some respect on her, because I mean, she can take people to those places, and it gives people an avenue.
Yes.
And that's the point of the art. That's
mm-hmm.
that's good form. You can't deny that. Not gonna lie, and you know, people in Nashville or maybe wherever you caught her, it's almost like when you have a Grateful Dead or Fish coming to town, it's like, oh, all these hippies are coming, you know, look out, the Swifties are coming.
Oh God. And there was 70,000 of us
yeah.
each night.
I mean, it's arena, you know.
Oh yeah, they said it was the highest attended event in arena history. And I'm not trying to be dramatic when I say that COVID was not a good time for me mentally. I am somebody that thrives on people.
You trying to say you might be a little extroverted or something?
I am, but then I'll have to, like, retreat. It was not a good time for me. I had some freakouts. I, like, cut my hair off. I dyed it purple. I got my nose pierced. Like, just things were just bubbling very near the surface. And those...
Are you having a quarter life crisis?
Oh, God. Just the whole crisis. The whole life crisis happened during that time. Gained weight, lost weight. I mean, just the whole nine.
I put on the COVID 15.
I put on probably the COVID 20 and then lost 40. But it was awful.
I got to know that secret.
high functioning anxiety, diagnosis of ADHD. A lot of mental health problems will get you there. But those two albums, I'm not going to lie, really got me through some dark times. And that's crazy because she's not even my genre. Pop is not even my thing. But those two albums were just, they were on point for me.
I saw a video today and it touched me. It was a guy, he went, I don't know where it was, recently went to one of the, it's a 3-hour show too, by the way, right?
Mm-hmm. And just her. Is three. Well, Gracie Abrams on this and one, Phoebe Bridgers, who is amazing. They were at least an hour. So, I mean, we got there at 4:30 and didn't leave until probably like midnight.
She goes through each of the albums.
She goes through all of the Lover's House, which is what they call it. It's a whole house with each room being one of her albums. And, I mean, just the whole sets are crazy.
He ate a hot dog for each one.
Oh, God.
7 hot dogs.
That's disgusting.
I loved it, dude.
That's a lot. Just like an aggressive amount of hot dogs, though. Like, just in general.
I was with him.
Like an eating competition amount of hot dogs. Like little Asian women slamming hot dogs.
He looked like he was living his best life, Lauren.
I had a funnel cake, and I'm not going to lie. It was hands down the best funnel cake I've ever had. I may could have done 7 funnel cakes, but 7 hot dogs? That's like 7 cans of Spam. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Like, I would have been laying on the ground at the end of the concert, like, letting people trample me because I'm like, sorry, I had all the hot dogs. All the hot dogs.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, you had, what, maybe 7 hot dogs over 3 hours. Roughly had a 30-minute break between each one. And just, dude, he was living his best life. He looked so happy, singing along between each bite.
Everyone I knew there was having their best life. Everyone I saw was living their best life. I saw dudes that I went to high school with that, like, brought their ladies. Everyone I saw was living their best life. Moms, nice. Dads, kids, everyone.
Yeah, I'm for it, dude. And I'm just glad, like, we're getting back to a place to where that can happen.
Oh, yeah.
See, something I think is funny, like, and I may do this the next time I go to a band that I've seen multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But I... may be perceived as being a bit of a dick, but instead of like being kind of close to the stage, and instead mm-hmm. of like looking at the band, mm-hmm. just looking back at the crowd,
that would be hilarious.
But no, I mean, just for that, like, I've experienced this so many times, and like, I wonder how many fresh experiences or whatever else mm-hmm. I'm gonna see, and just like, but then there's gonna be, dude,
just one guy.
It's that way.
Yes.
Hey, what are you doing?
Like, I'm blind. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, have a...
Like, a, yeah, Stevie Wonder, yeah. Which, by the way, the whole controversy of, like, whether or not he's blind is
he's
actually
not.
Hilarious.
I don't think he is.
I've started to not think he is, which
I... It's like Flat Earth. I'm changing God. My mind. I'm just kidding. We're not going there.
God, I was about to say, here we go. Here we go. No, I told my oldest daughter, who also went to the concert with us, I said, you know, I wish that we could go back the second night and I wouldn't have my phone, I wouldn't have anything,
but it's like comedians,
and it would just
like,
be in it.
It's like, not Chris Rock, who's the short guy that...
Kevin Hart.
Like, he joked about it. He's done stand-up about it, and... Like, I think even Chappelle made a joke. He's like, I threw something at Stevie Wonder, and he caught it.
Somebody was in an elevator recently with him, and I saw that, and they made some type of, like, gesture or something very physical that you would have had to been able to see.
Yeah.
And he looked right at him. But then you wonder, does he have, like, spidey senses? Like, has he been blind so long that he just, like...
He's kind of like a bat.
He's got super heightened hearing.
Echo.
Yeah, I mean, but you think there is some legitimacy to that, because think about if he's that musically inclined and you can hear he has to be able to hear certain things in certain ways.
Sonar.
Yeah. He's like a beluga whale. Like, he can just hear everything that's happening around him and map it out in his brain.
What are your thoughts on the ocean?
It's terrifying. It's Earth space.
I totally agree.
The most terrifying place
I don't know
on
why
Earth.
People willingly get in.
If it's, and this is disgusting, so disclaimer, if it is not up to my knees to squat and pee, I'm not doing it. I've been attacked by jellyfish. I have been attacked by just random things. If I can't see it, I don't want to know. I'm sorry. At this point, I have come to the conclusion. It's not a shark attack. Because no, I'm in their living room.
You're in its home.
Yes. If it comes into my living room and takes a bite out of me, that's a shark attack.
That's, yeah.
I entered your home illegally.
No, but we would call it a Lauren attack.
Yeah, if anything...
The way that we work.
I broke into your home.
Yeah.
So the shark has every right to come and be like, what's this? Let me get a taste. And then bounce. Because they don't like the taste of us. They're just curious. They don't have hands. They can't slap us and be like, get out. Gotta get a little nibble. No, it's terrifying. It's honestly terrifying.
I've been to the beach a lot, you know. And
I do love the beach.
We all have the senior trip. We have the spring breaks. You have all that. And I remember people gave... It's not just because I'm a ginger people. But I will sit under that umbrella and drink a Corona and have the time of my life right there on the beach. And if I get a little hot, I might go put my toes in.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as it goes. And they was like, man, get out here. We're having the ball in the ocean. I was like, brother, if I can't see, I ain't going.
But you're not going to catch me in the river either, though.
I quit doing that, too.
No, you're not going to catch me
now,
in the river.
As a teenager, as a young man, sure. No. But now that I know better, it's like one of those things. It's like, why would I put myself in that position?
No.
It just doesn't make sense. Do you walk into, like, if that's, okay, not even your own home. You're at a friend's home. And maybe... Let's just say you're going, you have to go through a room to get to the bathroom. It's the equivalent of you just feeling around in the dark trying to find a door to the bathroom, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you flip on the light switch, dummy?
Yeah, it's an option, so why wouldn't you?
Yeah, but that's what you're doing when you get in the ocean.
Yeah. Or the reservoir, or the river. I grew up going to the reservoir with my friends because we didn't have, like, rivers like y'all do. We have the reservoir, and... There was explicit instructions that I was to not be thrown in, like, abandoned via tubing, anything like that, or it would end very poorly and perhaps legally for everyone, because I would black out and go crazy. It's not something I play around with.
You had good friends, man. Like, when someone would put out a disclaimer like that in my younger days... It was probably what was going to happen.
The only thing I did that was really stupid was we would go down the Bogachita tubing a lot.
Tell me a little bit about that. What are you talking about?
So
it's around Brandon?
No, it's actually going towards Hattiesburg. It's the Bogachita River. And we would decide, these are in my before Christ days, we would decide...
She's about to use a slur. Everyone,
I'm not using a slur. We would go down there... have all this alcohol that I'm not sure how we got still, I don't know, load up these tubes with coolers and people, and then we would just float down this river for like 2.5 hours, 3 hours, and mind you, this is at like 15 years old. Where were my parents? Where were any of our parents? Not around, that's for sure. So
those were different days.
Oh God, different times. And like, there was no parent on this trip, for sure. This was all of us making the executive decision that this is what we're doing. So one of these times, I'm floating, and I get...
And by the way, you probably lied about where you were.
I don't even know that we did. I really don't think that we did.
I can't tell you how many times my parents caught me, or grandparents caught me, like, in mid-lie. Like, oh, I'm supposed to be over at so-and-so's house just chilling, playing video games. Nah, we was out doing... We were... out on a boat somewhere trying to...
I'll give you my system in just a minute that I created that made me a legend. But one of these times, floating down the Bogachita, my tube flipped. And I was just recently talking about this, honestly. I went under, and the current was really strong where we were at, and my bottoms got stuck on a stick. And the water is pulling me, but and I can't go up because my bottoms are stuck on this stick. And so I'm having to make the executive decision underwater. I can either A, drown, B, try and get out of this somehow, or C, take off my bottoms and float the rest of the way down the river, totally bare bottomed.
Mm-hmm.
My friend is hovering atop the water as I'm drowning with a beer and a cigarette, just looking. I don't think either one got wet, just watching this whole thing go down. Finally, my bottoms become dislodged. That is the closest to drowning I've ever come. And it was honestly one of the most terrifying experiences of my life.
Yeah. I mean, you were, this is huge. You had the option of dying or public shame.
Yes. And I just got full lucky circle enough to avoid both. Yes. Yeah. And I got up and I was like, seriously? You didn't lose your cigarette or your beer and I'm dying down there?
Ah, you were fine.
So, speaking of lying to your parents, God bless my parents. I think they did the best they could. But my group of friends, I guess our parents were just, I don't know, either completely oblivious or just done by the time they had us. A lot of us are the youngest kids of multiples. And so I developed this system where I would take my cordless phone and I would put it in my mailbox, and you would drive up and you would call your parents from my house and say, I'm at Lauren's house. We're here for the night. Put it back in the mailbox and leave. So this is before, you know, people had cell phones or Life 360. So there would be sometimes 15, 20 people that would do this every night, come in to check in, bless you, at my house. And this system kind of started, and we would all do that. Oh, I'm at so-and-so's, and you're there for the night, and that's where you are.
Perfect for that time would it not work
wonderful.
Today.
It was wonderful. Oh, no. God, my kids have too life much. Oh, yeah. My kids stalk me. Like, my oldest kid is like, why are you at the nail salon right now? And I'm like, first of all, mind your business. Second of all, I pay for your school, and that's where you're at right now, so you need to be learning. Don't worry about why I'm getting my nails done right now.
I'm bored in math. I was just wondering where you was at.
Yeah, do your work. That's not why I pay upwards of $500 for you to go to school. Like, do your work.
Yeah. If you and your friend pulled the trigger and decided whether it was by phone call, Zoom, or however y'all decided to do it, what would the podcast be about?
We floated the idea of calling it, like, midwife crisis instead of midlife crisis.
As good as that is, I don't think it exists.
A midwife crisis?
No, I'm talking about a podcast name that already.
Oh, good.
I think, like, when I started Porch Talk, there was only, like, me and one other guy. And now there's, like, 12 of them or something.
I did see that today when I was
there's
looking
it lot,
up.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
But usually mine's the top dog.
And there's, like, Back Porch and...
Yeah.
Yeah, front. They've had to add, like...
I want to have, like, a rivalry between them all.
Oh, yeah.
And just see, like... who comes out on top.
I think there was like three middle-aged black guys that are like Back Porch.
That one's actually a lot of fun. I listen to it sometimes.
Really?
I do enjoy that one, but the other ones are kind of garbage.
So this is the girl I would be doing it with. Her name is Ashley. She is one of my best friends my whole life. I have a tendency to pick people and be like, you're my person, and kind of adopt them, especially if they are not allowed obnoxious person like I am. And so
I
picked her, and she's ride or die. She knows everything about me. We are the same and the complete opposite at the same time. And it would be about motherhood, marriage, divorce, familial trauma, like just everything that, like, being in your mid-30s and trying to, like, survive this young kid working full-time, but yet being everything you need to be to everybody that depends on you and failing miserably, but still getting by.
I was thinking about it, man. I remember growing up, and when I thought about adults or when I looked at adults, like, it seemed like, at least when I was a kid, like, they're so well put together. Oh, everything's figured out. Then you become an adult and you're like, And then maybe you get to know them and be like, you seem so well put together, but you're actually a wrecking ball.
Like when your parents become humans.
Yeah.
And you're like, now you look back. Do you ever look back at some of the behaviors your parents had or your grandparents had? And you're like, oh, well, that was depression.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, mom wasn't sitting in her bedroom all night because she was tired. Mom went home and got in her bed because she was severely depressed. Like, you look back and you think, I just didn't have the tools to know that at the time.
No, I mean, you was a kid. I mean, everything, yeah. I mean, you're innocent and everything was just pure bliss.
I think it's only taken me in the last few years to understand that my parents are humans and they did the best that they could with what they had. And was it traumatic? Absolutely. But do I know that they love me? Yes. And so working on that and forgiving them as people, I think, has really made things a lot easier for me, as opposed to just saying, well, you should have done better.
It's funny. Like, I think about the father in Talladega Nights, Will Ferrell's father.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about that. If you ain't first, you're last. He's mm-hmm. like, dude, I lived my whole life by that. And he's like, hell, I was probably high when I said that.
Yes.
And I think about that sometimes when I was growing up, especially playing park ball, mm-hmm. and as chill as my dad was, I was like, I've always wanted to ask him. I was like, were you stoned for that?
Oh, yeah.
I bet he was.
Oh, yeah. Or you think about, like, the one teacher or the one criticism you got that stuck with you your whole life or made you insecure about something. Yeah, like, I had an insecurity growing up after a friend's brother said something to me that shaped the way I viewed myself my entire life. Like, it's still an insecurity. And it was some just BS remark that he made being a boy, like just messing with me, that probably he's never thought about again, but it affected how I saw myself literally the rest of my life. It's wild.
Yeah. Rocked your world.
Yeah, how one thing someone says can be so impactful if it's already got a seed in your head and it sparks.
Yep. Yeah, I can relate to that. Usually, I think it's friends, and you kind of take it as a joke, but it's kind of weird when it comes out randomly by someone who really doesn't know you.
And it's got a kernel of truth to it?
Yeah, and that's like one of those weird things you look back on and you never forget and be like, why do I remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's because it
got in there.
It got in there, baby.
And it did some damage. Yeah. Emotional damage.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think a lot of our insecurities get sparked by something that maybe we thought about ourselves or worried about ourselves, that it just took one person throwing a little gas on that fire and it blew up into something that stuck with us for years or even forever.
The only fight I got into as an adult, like early 20s, was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he had overheard, because he was a coworker,
mm-hmm.
and we were hanging out outside of work. And I don't know if he had overheard, like, maybe a friend of mine kind of making that joke, but he just out of nowhere made that joke about mm-hmm. that particular thing mm-hmm. about me.
Mm-hmm. You're like, that's not your joke.
Yep. Dude, I'm telling you, like, saw red, boom, it was on.
Yeah, you don't know me like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you
and
can say
the whole, I took it personally.
Oh yeah, you can say a lot of things about me, just don't say something I already believe about myself.
Because
mm-hmm. that's gonna get under my skin. But not, I mean, I think it. I give maybe too much power to some people and not enough to the majority of people. So most people can't hurt me or make me mad, but the ones who can.
Uh-huh.
Oh boy, because I'm not easy to love. I think I'm easy to fall in love with. I am not easy to stay in love with or be in love with at all. I don't know how my poor husband has done it as long as he has. It's one of the things in this life that I don't deserve, just like my kids. I mean, I think I'm an okay person. I'm not a great person. I'm not a terrible person. But I've got just bookshelves of issues. And so, but I'm charismatic and I'm fun. And people are like, oh yeah, it's easy to love her. No, it is not. No, it is not. And so I think that you, and another thing is you can't say anything worse to me than I've already said to myself. So, or done to myself. And so a lot of times if it's just somebody random, unless it's something that I really feel some type of way about, it's not going to bother me. I'm gonna be like, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm very quick-witted too, so I'm probably going to say something that tears out your soul on accident because you took me to a level I didn't want to go to.
I mean, when you made that comment on that live stream, like, immediately I was like, I like that person. I was like, that was such a good cut. And then, like, getting to know you, like, whether Porch Fest or out there supporting Julia Reyes at the McGowans, I was like, she's quick, it's funny, and it hurts.
And see, I don't mean to. The funny thing about me is that nobody really understands or believes. I'm ridiculously remorseful and tenderhearted. Like, if I feel like I hurt your feelings,
yeah,
it will haunt me. Like,
well, first time we met in person, you apologized.
Oh, God, yeah. Because I had been thinking about it ever since I said it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, I'm too quick for my own good sometimes. I'll say, I'm like, oh, that's gold. That's funny. And then I'll say it and then immediately be like, if I hurt their feelings, I'm going to start crying. And it's not for myself. Like, I don't cry about hardly anything myself. But if I feel like I hurt your feelings, oh, my God. Oh, my God. One of my...
World ender.
Oh, yeah. One of my best friends in high school, she's still one of my best friends, but she married her high school sweetheart. Well, the first time that we met, we were in a class together in, like, ninth grade. And him and I went back and forth at each other. And then I made a your mama joke, and he was like, my mom's dead. I immediately started crying. He was lying.
I've done that so much.
Him and I have gone back and forth since then. But that's
the type.
And
now you don't hold back.
Oh, God. But you know. Like,
yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Dude, yeah. I've sneezed into his open mouth before. 2 years after he did it to me.
Somebody's done that to me.
But he did it to me first. And I said, one day, I'm going to get you back. And there's nothing you can say or do about it. 2 years later, I did it to him. And I was like, I told you. And he was like, to be fair, there's nothing I can say or do about it because I brought this on myself.
And I did it to you during the COVID.
No, this was years ago. This was like college. But no, I'm ridiculously tenderhearted. Mo and I have gotten into it before.
And I'll tell you this. I hope you take it to your mother that you lied about.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Tell your mom. Mo and I have gotten into it before at the studio about random debates or this or that. But when I felt like I hurt his feelings recently by making a comment, I was so...
kind of backed up.
I was like, I am so sorry. Like, it just destroyed me.
Yeah. Dude, it's... I remember when I got wise to it, and I know I'm not the inventor of it, because, I mean, everybody has done it. And I don't remember where I heard it from, where it came from. Someone made a joke about my mother, and I was like, well, dude, that's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the hospital. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, she's visiting a friend. And he's like, oh, you dick. I was like, well, it's true.
That is funny.
Or, like, I always thought it would be funny if, like, your mom was a doctor or a nurse.
Oh, yeah. She works there.
Yeah, yeah. And be like, well, she is there.
Yeah.
She's in the hospital. It's kind of odd that you would say that about her.
One of my favorite things on, like, TikTok is, like, dead dad jokes or, like, dead mom jokes. Like, the people who are, like, celebrating their dad's like 6 year sober anniversary, and then they'll pan it over to like his urn and they're like, good job, dad. And I'm like,
that's dark.
But you always laugh. You're like, daggum. Or they'll go back and forth and they'll be like, these sisters I saw, they're like, things that would give our dad a stroke, and they're reading them back and forth, and they'll look at the urn and be like, dad. And it's just hilarious. Or things that would send our dead dad into the grave.
Tyler told this story on here. I don't know if he's told it on Man Up, but he was talking about when his dad passed, mm-hmm. and trying to figure out, like, he was trying to get him buried. But he come from a poor family, and at the time he couldn't afford to bury his father. Reached out to his father's brothers, sisters, and even if they all came together and agreed to all put in the pot, they couldn't afford it. Then he started looking into cremation. That was expensive too. And then he was like, you know, well, I took him to the crematory, and he's like, you know, I always saw in the movies that you get a nice vase.
No. What?
Yeah, it's because they bought the vase.
Yes.
And he's like, dude, I took my dad home from the crematorium in a cardboard box.
It was like a Ziploc, gallon-sized Ziploc of, like, grimy, kitty-litter-looking ash that they put in a shoebox, basically. Yeah. And they're like, here's dad.
Yeah.
And you're like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
Seriously, I know some people feel some type of way about it, but I think that, like most things, funerals, headstones, all that is a business. It is to make money. You could literally dump my dead body
in a ditch
in front of sunflower. I don't care. I'm gone. Like,
for those of you who don't know, sunflower is a grocery store.
Sorry. Yes, neighborhood market.
Yeah.
If you will. I don't care. Put me in the Walmart parking lot.
It's like, Piggly Wiggly, is that an Alabama thing? And I was like, yeah, for the most part.
Sir, that is a Southeast thing. Mississippi has
Louisiana.
That too. Yeah. We are all Piggly
Wiggly.
They were
like West Coast, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always funny, like, and I love it when people reach out, but like, hey, family show, da 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 da, and asking questions about, like, where we're from. It's like, love the way you talk, da da da, this or that. And it's, y'all wear shoes down there?
No.
No, dude, we're like a third world country.
Literally, we don't. One of my favorite podcasts is these two British guys, and I love British anything, but trying to decipher some of the things that they say, like one of the comments they'll constantly make to each other is, raw.
If their accent is heavy, it pisses me off to no end where I can't listen to it.
This is not too heavy.
But if they have like a, like, I have a particular British accent that I love.
Gravitate towards.
And it leads closer to like the Australian one.
Yeah.
And I don't know what part of England that is, but
I like dirty ones.
You like the dirty?
Yeah. Like, I like all of them, but I've got, like, to the point where during the pandemic and stuff, I watched, like, tons of British reality shows. So I heard, like, the Scouse dirty accents all the way up to, like, what is that show? The Downton Abbey, like, very posh accents and everything. So I like the whole gambit of
it. I appreciate you going for it right there.
You know, I really screwed it up. It was kind of like you doing the Jamaican Dracula.
I thought I was good with the Jamaican.
You know,
and then I go back and listen. I was like, he's kind of right.
It was a bit... I wouldn't have been able to pinpoint it had he not said Dracula.
It burnt my ass, but I did buy some makeup. And I am going to come on that show as Dracula one day.
The disappointment on your face was so visceral. You were like, why did I not have that on for just this such occasion?
Yeah, it's almost like a ruined joke. It's a ruined bit. We got to go back in the...
You got to edit this out so we can redo it.
Yeah. No, we should edit that out on that show.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Y'all take that down. Let's do it again.
Mo, we got to take that episode down. No, Mo don't listen to the show.
Yeah, y'all do... I don't think Mo listens to anything because he doesn't have time.
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
Y'all commit to some bits, though, I'm not going to lie. Y'all were all, for some reason, dressed in full winter gear the other day.
That was by accident.
To the point where Wes's glasses kept fogging up, and I was like, just take them off. Just take off the stuff that y'all are wearing. You looked like a lumberjack.
Full disclosure, I was tripping on acid.
I do remember that. Yes, now I remember that. Yes,
like, I think I disclosed it on the show too.
Yeah, you were like, you had just gotten back, I think.
Yeah, I was coming back.
Yes,
and it felt good, like I was running cold.
Yes,
like I was a little reptilian lizard.
You were tickled. It was good times. It was good times.
So I don't care if my work hears about that because you can't test for it because it's already gone.
It's bye. It's done.
Yeah. So anyway, well, confessions of porch talk. Oh, what else to do, Lauren?
What?
What else to do?
What do you mean?
What else to talk about?
There's so many things.
Yeah. Do you want to keep going or do you want to put a pin right there?
It's up to you, boss. I'm good.
Let's put a pin right there. Can you believe that was over an hour?
Was it?
Hour and 15 or so. But that, walking out of the door, I hope you will be hearing more from Lauren, whether it's a midwife crisis.
Yeah.
Or back on here. I enjoyed it.
Me too. It was a good time.
Well, thank you, Lauren. We're out of here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.